Elder Leslie Case.
Thank you, Marvin. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a pleasure to be with you this evening, not especially just to preach to you, but just it's a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord with those of like precious faith. My message tonight is probably will take care of both Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have much to be thankful for, and we've heard many testimonies this morning about the great blessings, and also last Wednesday night, and throughout the sermons recently, too, the blessings that God has poured out upon us. But there are a few that I have never heard mentioned at this time, at least in this way, and so I'd like to count some of those with us here this evening. In the 10th chapter of John, starting in the 10th verse, I think I'll start with the 7th verse. And Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep. All that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. A thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling is not, and not the shepherd whose sheep own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf scattereth them, catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Christ said to his people there in Jerusalem, said, I am the good shepherd. I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I think we might have presumed that he is speaking particularly about eternal life, but he certainly did give us life more abundantly. And we have, at least I cannot visualize what eternal life is like. We're pretty much described to us in the Book of Mormon, at least, and also in Revelations about the beautiful place the eternity is, and the new heaven and the new earth. And we're also told who will be there and who will not. This morning we had sacrament service, and we promised God that we would always remember him and keep his commandments and partaking of that bread and wine. And with that came also a blessing at his hand. If we go over to John 14. And the 15th verse. Okay, I guess. So if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live, and you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, the one that did betrayed him, Jesus, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, keep my words rather. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As we were baptized, most of us here, except for the little ones, we know that we had hands laid upon us and was given the Holy Ghost to bring to our remembrance, as it says here, the things that he has said. Yet sometimes I am a little bit forgetful and forget exactly what he said and what he had is in his commandments. But we know of the peace and the joy that comes from the presence and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he had come into the world to bring peace to the world. Yet we do not see much peace in the world today, do we? Yet it was his hope and his plans that there would be peace in the world. But he has given us the Holy Ghost to bring to us that peace and to bring to us a knowledge of his words that Christ spoke to us when he was here. And he not only spoke them to us, but he gave us a word, both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that we can go to and read. But it has not always been that way. The Bible has not always been available to the world. Yes, even in some places in the world today, it's not known. I can remember not too long ago when Brother Brian and some of those went to Ethiopia. They went there, because they were invited, expecting to teach them the Church of Christ. But what did they find out when they got there? They had never heard of Jesus Christ, had no idea what he was talking about. And so they had to go back to the beginning and teach them and show them that Jesus came, that the Son of God came to them, that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So it is a blessing unto us to live in this day, a day when the word is reasonably available to any and all of us, that we might have the word of God to teach us and to guide us our lives as we walk through this veil of tears. But God has been so good to us because he did send his Son, that through him we might be saved. Saved from eternal damnation, even saved from eternal death, because had he not come and gave his life for us, there would have been no resurrection. And so that is something that we don't want to ever forget, that our hope, our trust, is in Jesus Christ and the plan that he gave unto us, so we might have hope, not only for an enjoyable life here with all of the things that we've given, but we might have life eternal in that beautiful place called the new heaven and the new earth. If we would go to the Ezekiel and the 37th chapter, starting with, well, I guess I decided to start with the very first. You know, several years ago now, I arrived in Umatilla, Florida. There's a small group there, Sister Nina and her sister Anderson, and I think it was, one of the Payne boys. I can't remember his first name right off the top of my head right this time. That's one of the things that I have lost is some of my memory. But as we sat down for a little discussion that night, he said, Sister Nina said, you know, we've been studying, and can you tell us what is written there in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel about the dry bones? Do we know that story? It's quite a revealing to us, and it's a blessing, really. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God, behold these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come unto you, to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and said, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking of the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, as exceeding a great many. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say the bones are dried, and our hope is lost, but we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you unto the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And then, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and shall have peace in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, has spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. That was where they stopped. Do we imagine that he is trying to tell them that he is going to make the house of Israel that died through the periods of time come to life and to be among us? In a way he did. But if we go on and read the rest of the chapter, it explains just what he has said. And the word of the Lord came again and saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. And then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the stick of Israel, house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another unto me, to one stick, and they shall become one in mine hand. And when the children of the people shall speak unto you, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hands of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and this be one in mine hand. And the stick whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And so them thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take this, the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they have gone, and will gather them unto every side, and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall it be defiled, shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be a king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they will also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Judah, to Jacob rather, that my servant, wherein my father hath dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and all their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be the prince over them, prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant with a peace with them, and there shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them in the, and multiply them, and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the heathen shall know that the Lord God doth sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever. No, he is not going to bring back not only the prophets, but the house of Israel that died in their many sins that they got into. But he has given to us their words. He's given to us their stories. And he, as far as we know, we can, how will I say this? To us, they live. They was real people. They suffered and they died, but they left their record with us. And God was, in his great wisdom, made plans where those records that they wrote could be brought down to us, that the Holy Ghost may bring them back to our memory. Yes, those old people, Daniel, who was in the lion's den, David, who was one of the first kings over Israel, they live. And they left their words with us. They left their mistakes with us, that we might know where not to go as well as how to go. And this is one of the great blessings that we have, that God has given us not only his word, but he's given us the story of mankind from the very beginning of time down to us. No, this has not always been possible. You know, there was a time from about 540 A.D. to about 1100 A.D. when it's called the Dark Ages, a time when God withdrew his spirit from the world. And we cannot imagine, there's not much written about that period of time when God was not with them, because they did not have the record. It was hid up from them. But we live in a period of time which we can be very thankful for. At least I am very thankful for the time which we live. It's been not only a time of when the Word of God has come to us, and he's restored his church as he did in April 6, 1830. I am thankful for our forefathers who foresaw enough of the way that things were going that they refused to go with the main group, with the many other groups that left and struggled with their own struggles to return unto the true principles of Jesus Christ. These are some of the things I am so thankful for, that God has given us this opportunity to hear and to see and to read the words of Christ. You know, as I meet with people down in the visitor center, it seems like it's unreasonable to some people that we would not go along with the larger groups or the other groups of the church, of the what they call the Restoration. But our forefathers decided that they would go back to what the church was organized on April 6, 1830. They would go back to the original name, just like the Bible and the Book of Mormon told us it would be, and go back to the principles and the word that's written in those books. These are the things I'm thankful for, that our forefathers had the desire, the will, and the courage to stand up for what is true and right, and to give unto us this opportunity we have today. I'm thankful also for this building that he gave unto us. You know, when this church burned on January the 1st of 1990, it was a terrible time for us. We couldn't hardly imagine what was going to take place. We had struggled for, I think, at least 3 years in our conferences here to what we should do. The building was too small. We had to rent a place to go have our conferences, but we just didn't feel like we had the money to build on or to build a new building until Satan entered into a man's heart to burn the old building. It was just terrible. It was discouraging. I stood out here on the lawn that day when the fire was finally put out. The building didn't look too bad when you stand back and look at it, but the inside was destroyed. The roof was gone. Downstairs was pretty much safe. A lady came up to me as I was standing there and said, "I'm sorry they're not going to let you build back." And without even thinking, I said, "Well, we're going to. Yet I knew in my heart, I didn't have any idea how we were going to do it. Didn't have a clue what we would build back or how we would be able to do it. But God provided. He gave us this building. Yes, we struggled. We saved. We did all we could to raise money. But in 2 years, we had this building built back without a debt. Didn't owe anybody one penny. In fact, our rules will not let us do that. It was a blessing, though it was a terrible situation. These are some things I'm so thankful for, that God has provided for us. In the Book of Ether, some question here, Book of Ether, first chapter and the 34th verse. I think we all know about Ether. The Book of Ether actually is a man by the name of Jared. At the time of the Tower of Babel there in Jerusalem area, when God confounded their languages, there was a man who was concerned about being able to communicate. We have enough trouble sometimes communicating when we understand each other, or understand their languages, but this time they knew, because of the commandment of God, that they would not understand each other anymore. And so Jared had a brother that seemed to, he thought, had more faith than he did, and he said to his brother, "You go ask God if he will not prepare us and serve, cause that we will remain able to speak and understand each other." And so he did. But he also asked him to, "Well, maybe you could just take, he would take us someplace where we could have a goodly land and all by ourselves, where we can work together." And so Brother Jared asked him, and he said, "Okay." And he gave him some commandments of how to go about to prepare to go. It wasn't an easy thing. He had him prepare 8 barges, make like a dish on top and on the bottom. To me, I can't really visualize just how it was all looked like and what it was done, but that's what it said. It was like a dish on the bottom and like a dish on top, and it was tight, watertight. Not only watertight, but it was airtight. No air in there, no light either. And so he said, "Well, see, God, it's dark in there. Said, can't you give us some light?" And so he had Brother Jared go out and he molded 16 small stones. And then he went up on the mountain and said, "Now, God, would you please touch these stones and make them light?" So he did. And of course, Brother Jared saw the finger of the Lord and he was overcome by the sight and he fell to the earth. And he was given a knowledge of God that he would take upon him flesh and blood. That he was, he had the body that he would bring when he came here. But in 34th verse. No, that's not the one I want to read right now. I don't believe I've got where it was, but anyway, he did send them here upon this land at that time, and they lived here from about 2,000 years before Christ down to about 600 years after Christ. He made them a great people, but they, like so many people have done in the times past, they got into idolatry, secret combinations, wickedness, and they fought one another till they killed each other off. But he gave them this land, a land of promise. And also in their words, they left us for us. And this is what he said to us. "And this cometh to you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness have come upon you, come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the earth land have hitherto done. For this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity from all of the nations under heaven. And if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who has been manifest by the things which we have written, now behold, I proceed to with my record And behold, it came to pass that the Lord did bring Jared and his brethren forth, even to the great sea, which divided the lands. And they came to the sea and pitched their tents, and they called the name of the place Moriah-Kamar. And they dwelt in the tents, and they dwelt in the tents and to the seashore for 4 years. And finally, they completed their attack, and they came here. But the commandment was that they should serve the Lord here. We know what happened to them people. They read through the book of Ether that they warred and warred, and they only one man survived the whole congregation or the whole group. It was a mighty number of people at that time. In over 1,000 years or so they lived here. They warred until they killed each other off. And there was just one king left, Coriantumr. Only one man out of the whole nation of people. God cleansed the land. Why? Because he had another group of people that was going to come here. He had set Lehi, who was trying to prophesy in the about 600 years before Christ, because he was told that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and destroy Jerusalem and drive them out of the land of Jerusalem. And he wanted to bring them here, that they would have a land of peace forever. And so they did that. They came here and they lived for quite some time. And when they found, at that time, there was another group, Mulek, who apparently was one of the younger sons of King Zedekiah, that was able to escape. And we do not have their story. They came here. We don't know how they got here or who they, just any of the circumstances, except they was found by the people here. The first, that people found the Coriantumr, and he died about 9 months later, and they carried his story as well as what they could remember, but they had no record, no written record of their own, and even their language had become so distorted by that time, by the time they were found, that they couldn't even understand the people of King Messiah. But they Messiah did have the interpreters and things that God had provided for that thing. And it was able to, they had the record of the ether with them, but they couldn't read it. And so King Mosiah was able to read those records and give us the book of ether. And also they had their own record that they kept. That's Lehi and Nephi and Jacob and Joseph and Laman and Lemuel and their older brothers. They dwelt here from about 600 years before Christ until, well, they're still here, some of them. However, we know that the descendants of Nephi, rather, most of them were annihilated. All of them for the same reason, that they disobeyed God, they fell into iniquity. It seems incredible in some respects that God has preserved the descendants of the older brothers, Laman and Lemuel, the Lamanites, when it was the Nephites that carried the banner of Christ from 600 years before Christ until about 400 years after Christ, until they too warred, until they was all killed off. But we have those records. We have the written word as to why and how they became a great kingdom, and how fell into iniquity, and the destruction that came upon them. And then The Book of Mormon tells us in the, let's see, where would I read that one? Well, it's the first chapter of, the first book of Nephi. Well, I can't say, don't have my cross reference right in front of me, but we know that he brought, first he brought Columbus that discovered this land. It was inhabited at that time by the descendants of Laman and Lemuel, and he inspired Columbus to discover this great land. And then he saw other Gentiles come and inhabit this land. And they was given this land too. I don't think it's any secret or beyond our imagination or understanding that God provided our forefathers with ability to come here and to develop a free nation as we have it here today, also on this land of promise. And that's what I was going to read there in well, I just read at some point in the book of Jared of Ether, rather. I hope you'll excuse me for my stuttering and stammering here, but he brought the Gentiles here, and they made a great nation too, with the understanding that they would be a free people and that they would be free from the bondage. They came here for their express purpose, many of them at least in the beginning, to establish a place where they could worship God as they desired to do, because they were not allowed to in the old country. We know too that the first people who came here was placed down in Jamestown. It was it was after it was discovered the England was trying to establish themselves here. And so they allowed their prisoners, if they could come here and establish themselves, to give them a portion of the land. But it was not just a coincidence, I don't think, but that Jamestown actually died off. They couldn't preserve until the Pilgrims came here and established themselves there in Plymouth, England, New England. But they came here for the express purpose to have the freedom of religion, to serve God as they desired. And I read in the World Book that one of their thoughts was that they was going to build a new Jerusalem here in this land. Isn't that kind of strange that they would have such a thought as that, when it really is God's plan that he will build a new Jerusalem here in this land? And that was their ambition and their desire back in the early settlement of this great land of ours. What I was going to read was in either the or you read, I think, be the first chapter and the 34th verse. But it was written to us, to the Gentiles in our day, that we might remember that this is a choice land above all the lands, and anybody that lived here had to serve the God of this land, or when they dwindled in unbelief, that they'd be swept off. It's also said that he would not allow anybody to come here unless he brought them. Well, we know that there's every nation under the world here at this time. Every nationality there is here someplace. But as a people, if we go to the 14th chapter of 3 Nephi, I think the 13th chapter of 3 Nephi, rather. Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, Turn, all ye Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent from your evil doings, and your lyings, and deceivings, and your whoredoms, and your secret abominations, and your idolatries, and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envies, and your strifes, and from all your wickedness and abominations. And come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you may be numbered among my people, who are the house of Israel. I'm not sure who really penned those original words, but they've been translated and written down for our being, that he's talking to us, that we need to humble ourselves and put away all these evil things that are among us, because we too have dwindled in unbelief. But we need to remember too that he gave this land to Joseph, the seed of the son of Jacob. He gave his land to them. And we're here because they, in their day, went into iniquity, and they brought our forefathers here. But we got to remember, we have the evidence that this is a promised land, and only those who serve the God of this land will remain here. The second book of Nephi, the 12th chapter, and about the 75th verse. Nephi here is talking to his own people, not only those in his day, which was about 545 B.C., but he's talking to us today. And now, behold, my brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that you should suppose that you should be more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except you shall keep the commandments of God, you shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles who will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, as many of the Jews who will not repent will be cast off. For the Lord commandeth that with covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe on his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. And now I will prophesy somewhat concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out of Jerusalem, and that they are descendants of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has been was had among their fathers. And they shall rejoice, and they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. They're going to know that the Gentiles have their record. And the scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be white and a lightsome people. It shall come to pass that the Jews, which are scattered also, shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. Came to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God will cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, even if it be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness of his girdle of his reins. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion and the shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known, and all things shall be made known unto the children of men. And there is nothing which is in secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it be made manifest in the light. And there is nothing that is sealed upon the earth, save it be loosed. Wherefore all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. He said back there that he was talking to his people, not only the people then, but for those of our day. He said in the 75th verse, and now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for Nephi would not suffer that you suppose that you should be more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For except they shall keep the commandments of the God, ye shall in all likewise perish because of the words which have been spoken. Ye do not suppose that the Gentiles shall are utterly destroyed. He's talking about our day. Maybe my great-great-grandson's day, I'm not sure. It's certainly not today. But the promise upon this land is that if we go to the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, actually the 10th chapter that we... Well, maybe I better start and read the part here in the 9th chapter, the last part of it, of the 3rd Nephi. Starting with the 9th verse, it says, "And my people who are the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who shall go through both treadeth down and teareth to pieces, and none can deliver. And their hands shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and will destroy thy chariots, and will cut off the cities out of the land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of their hands, and shall have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will also cut off, and the standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I really feel that he's describing our own condition at this time. When, you know, we think we have so much knowledge. And it does also tell another place in the last days the knowledge will increase. And we cannot imagine how fast the knowledge is increasing at this time. It seems like they come up with so much knowledge, and before they get that all put to practice, it is developed in something even greater and more significant even yet. But the progression of manufacturing and how the things of the earth work is amazing. How we have developed to be able to have the spaceships that can go to the moon or Mars or wherever they want to go. They've proved almost that they can do whatever they put their mind to do it because of the advance of knowledge. I don't think we can really, at least I can't, imagine what it was like to live in, well, even in the days of Jesus, or take the time of the Tower of Babel, what it was like to live back there. You know, they didn't have any automobiles at all. They had their beast of burden, but they walked wherever they wanted to go, or rode a beast of a burden. They didn't have the fine clothes that we have today. They could go down to the store and buy them. They had to make them themselves. Can you think of having to go back and live as they did back then? With the inconveniences they had, there probably was no grocery stores as such. They raised their own groceries. It was what we call primitive, wasn't it? Today we live, had all these things on our hand, and of course we have to work to make a living and to be able to buy these things. But they're here for us, for our benefit, and God has provided them for us. But it's going to run; their time is running out. He has promised that He would not destroy the righteous, but He's also promised that He's going to destroy the wicked. But what I was going to read is on down in the 10th chapter. Talking to the Gentiles, but if they will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. And shall come into the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, and they shall build a city, which shall be called a New Jerusalem. And then shall assist my people that they may be gathered in who are scattered upon all the face of the land unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel is preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you that that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father prepare a way where they may come unto me, that they will call on the Father in my name. And then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations, in preparing a way whereby his people may be gathered into the land of their inheritance. And then shall go forth And they shall go forth from all nations, and they shall go out from not go out in haste, nor by flight, for I will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be their rearward. And then shall that be written which shall come to pass, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth and sing and cry aloud, that thou dost not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife of the Lord. And it goes on to tell about the gathering in of the house of Israel from the east and the west, from the north and the south. You know, it appears that the majority of so-called Christians do not understand that the house of Israel is not just the Jews. A little side issue right here. One day down at my work, quite a few years ago now, one of the fellows came to me and said, Leslie, did you know that Christ was a Jew? Well, sure, I knew he was a Jew. But I also know that there was more of the house of Israel than just the Jews. There was 12 tribes of the Jews. In fact, remembering the Sunday school class here, we're talking about when they came in and conquered the land of Canaan, the different tribes was given a piece of land. There was 12 of them. In the days following King Solomon, this nation was divided between his two sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And 10 tribes took the north part of that area of Jerusalem, and Judah and Benjamin took the southern part. And a little bit of Manasseh in the southern part. It was called Judah. And the other part was called Israel. Israel went into captivity or went into dispersed a little bit of time before the southern part did. And they went north. And they're called the lost tribes. The lost tribes of the house of Israel. Where are they? I've been asked if I knew where they were. No, I don't know where they are. And it said they will be lost until one stands up with the Urim and Thummim and describes them and tells them what they are. I suspect that they're just about like the Indians were. They had no idea what their forefathers were when we came here. Oh, they have a lot of traditions. But I would suspect that the lost tribes, and I can't name them all off the top of my head either, but the northern tribes, but they're somewhere in Europe. And perhaps it's my opinion that the people in the Philippines are the house of Israel. What part of the house of Israel? I don't know. It's not too important that I know. But God knows. And he will bring it forth in his own time. But the point I want to get across to you with us tonight is that he has given us these things for which I am so thankful for. He has given us his word that we might know what's going to be before us. Yes, those men took on flesh and blood. Those people did. They're alive. They're alive to you, and they're alive to me. We might know of their mistakes. They might know of their conquerors and their proceedings, that we might not follow after them. We've been given the word, and for that's what I'm very thankful for. He's given us the Bible, the stick of Judah. He's given us the Book of Mormon, the stick of Joseph. And it's written in here that when those lost tribes come forth, they're going to have a record too. We're going to know who they are, even though they perhaps don't even know where they are now. I'm thankful for the plan that God has given to us. I didn't really intend to speak over time to you tonight, but I hope that you will take courage and strength, because it is written that only the more righteous shall be preserved. And he will preserve them by if it were necessary, by fire. He would destroy the wicked by fire, but that he would not destroy the righteous. And so this great promise unto us. Yes, we each have our own individual things to be thankful to God for, but we are thankful for the future of God's work that we are so privileged to be part of. We're so privileged to have those two sticks, living sticks, the records of those who came before, that we might profit from their mistakes and profit by the promises that they've given to us. May God bless us and always remember that we're here because God provided for us. God bless you all.